Hey guys, welcome back to the Pennies to Pounds podcast with your host Kia. And this is the podcast where we aim to dispel your myths, simplify difficult financial jargon and rectify your own personal problems. Happy Monday, everyone. I hope you've had an amazing weekend. We are back again with a great episode. And I think a topic that we don't often tackle, but a very important one. We're going to be talking about financial dependency. What does that look like in relationships? How can you identify it if you're in a relationship and that is where it is? We're going to be talking about all of that. But before we get into it, I have a special guest to help me tackle this topic. Guest, who are you?
Hi, I'm Nadine, aka Rona Renovation. I'm a renovator and interiors Instagram person. I'm very slow to admit that I'm an interiors influencer.
You are.
I'm a home and interiors influencer with a background in PR.
Okay.
London girl, I'm 33. Does that summarize it?
Yeah. That summarizes it very well. So Okay. Before we get into our topic, how did you start your page, Rona Renovations? How did we get to that point?
So my partner and I, in our relationship, we kind of discussed like what are the big milestones, and we were like, okay, getting on the property ladder is a must for us. We were looking at properties end of 2019, found this house that we were like, ticked so many boxes. We completed on the property, like we got the keys literally the first week of lockdown.
Oh, wow.
So like, do you remember when people couldn't get pasta and toilet roll?
Yeah.
That's when I remember actually queuing outside the supermarket. Do you remember we had to queue to get
yes. into all of these foreign things now,
exactly,
but yes.
That. I feel like we've suppressed them because of the PTSD. But I was literally queuing to get into the supermarket and the solicitor rang and she was like, yeah, it's gone through. The house is yours. So... But it was so crazy because like all the normal ways that you would complete on a house were just up in the air. At that time, nobody knew like what was going to happen. Mm. I think at that time, people thought we were going to be locked down for like a month.
Oh, no, we did. We thought, oh, it'll just be a couple of weeks. Yeah. No way it can be any longer than that.
So it was crazy. So we got the keys in lockdown. Funnily enough, we actually got the keys from the previous owner, which is not normally how it's done. But the estate agents were not allowed to like...
Wow.
Yeah, it was all so weird. And I just felt like we're buying this house in such a weird time. I need to document this. And then I remember my thought was like, this is going to be boring on my personal Instagram. Let me just start another Instagram. And like people who want to follow along, I'm thinking like, oh, 100 of my friends and family will migrate over and I can just journal it. And then literally the second day after getting the keys, we started ripping walls down.
Wow.
And I'm just like filming and posting all of this, like really raw on Instagram stories. And like literally the rest is history. Like we just grew an audience from there. And yeah, Rona Renovation, obviously coronavirus, Rona. It really was a pandemic renovation. So I think, you know, obviously renovating is quite a big category on social media. Like people are really interested
people
in
love
renovations.
It.
But I think there at the time, there weren't many people that looked like me and my partner renovating. And then I think also as well why we grew so quickly is everyone was at home.
Everyone was just on their phones.
Yeah, everyone like, was just on their phones at home. So it and in their homes thinking, oh, maybe I could do that. Maybe I can do that. So that's how it all started.
And it's incredible what you've managed to build and grow in that time. It's still growing. So congratulations. Mm-hmm. But we're going to talk about financial dependency today. Yeah. So you and I have had a conversation, a really good one actually. And like you mentioned, you're 33. I'm 25. There is a lot that we can discuss and we can learn about financial dependency.
Yeah.
I've spoken to even people who are younger than me who have a different outlook of what that looks like in a relationship.
Yeah.
But before we get into all of that, I want to start the conversation and ask you, how does financial dependency manifest within a relationship, would you say?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So I feel like I think I might flip that question.
Okay.
I feel like I manifested financial independence in my relationship.
Okay, let's talk
about
that.
So I feel like we can look at it that way and then get to the dependency part. So the way I was brought up, there was never a question in my mind that I would pay for myself in life and that I would set myself up as a woman, single or coupled up, independently. There was never a question in my mind that that would be a thing. So when I moved in with my partner and our finances started joining, I never looked at it as like he earns this and I earn this. So this is, I always just looked at it as 50-50. I think it's until very recently, like the past few years, I'm seeing more conversations about, you know, what men should pay for, what women should pay
That's a hot topic all the time if you're online.
All the time if you're online. Then there's all these things. I was actually explaining to my mum the other day what a stay-at-home girlfriend is.
My mum has never heard this before. And yeah, I was like, really?
Exactly. Yeah. And these like conversations are actually new to me because I just always presumed that I'll just pay my own way. So let me give you a really great example. My partner's always earned more money than me because he just works in a more lucrative field than I was. I was working in PR and PR's, and I was working in consumer PR where, you know, it's okay, but, you know, it's not like a corporate salary. He's had a corporate salary since the beginning of our relationship, but it just never entered my mind that because he earns more, he should pay more because I think I've been raised to be financially independent. So right. I just look at things of what's fair is fair. If I live in this flat or if I'm eating the food in the food shop, like I'm going to pay half. I think where the dependency comes in, this is going to take me a long time to land this point. If as a couple, you are living a lifestyle that is more attuned to one person's financial situation than the other, then that's where the dependency comes in. So for example, when my partner and I were looking at properties, his salary probably means we could have gone for a bigger house, a nicer house, right? In a better area, blah, 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 blah. But we're looking at this as like a couple, right? So we have to consider what money he has, what money I have, meaning we've gone into this buying a property that works financially for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Where the dependency comes in is if he had convinced me, I'm a big man, I got paid, let's get a luxury, let's get a flat, let's get a nice new build pen. If I had let him convince me that, and then on top of that, let's also drive a Range, then I'm financially dependent on him. Because my money can't stretch to that.
Mm-hmm. So you have to rely on his income to supplement a difference that you can't
exactly.
fill.
Exactly. Whereas what we've got together is affordable for me.
Okay.
So there's never been a question that I would pay less or not pay half because I can afford this.
Yes.
So I think that's how the dependency, what I'm seeing manifests. If you're living a lifestyle based on the person who... Because there's normally someone who's got more money yes, in a relationship usually, yeah. because people just do different careers. I think that's where it can get techie because it's like, okay, so we're now driving a Range. We now live in like Islington and like we've got this huge house. I can only really afford this lifestyle because of this person's salary.
Mm. And if they left, I would now be struggling.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Also, then there's like a whole other, like me and my partner, we're still not married. So then that's like legally, like I'm not his next of kin.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, if he was to unexpectedly pass away or I was to unexpectedly pass away, you know, it's not that I'm going to get everything. And even if I did, could I afford it on my, you know? So it's like, I think that's how I think on this topic.
Yeah.
It's about like living within
your means. Yeah.
More than anything. And I think... You know, when I look at the kind of like stay-at-home girlfriend trend, for example, and obviously it looks great. Like, it looks amazing. But the only thing that worries me about that is that from what I'm seeing visually is like these girls are like laying around in like luxury homes and living a luxury life and climatizing to that. And I'm like, if for any reason that relationship status or anything changes... The fall from grace.
I'll be a hard
one. It's going to be a hard one.
That is so true.
The fall
and I think
from grace is going to be hard. Yeah.
I think a lot of the things I'm seeing online with the whole stay-at-home girlfriend, it's often younger girls and younger women who perhaps maybe haven't gotten to the point in their life yet where they're earning, you know,
exactly.
good money, or they just haven't even considered life without said partner. This is
right,
their new lifestyle. Because I know if a millionaire, if you want to, steps into my life, right? And then now whisks me away. And then my life is now mansions and maids and chefs and everything.
Yeah.
If I now agree to that, I'll say, yeah, let's buy this house. It's not less, it's you.
Yeah.
Because my income is not going to supplement that. But the moment I say yes, for example, when I say, yeah, let's do this, I can probably only contribute about 5% towards what that looks like and what that costs.
Right. And this is the thing. It's like, I get it. Like, life is short, live your best life. I feel like, you know, we would all be like enjoying if the person that you found yourself in a couple with just happens to be really wealthy. I'm not saying sit those experiences out, but I'm saying it can get techie. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because I'm just like a little bit older. My current partner is like my third serious boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
right? The other two before him, I thought I was going to be with them. And for whatever reason, it didn't work out. So maybe it's because I've just got a little bit more life experience. It's not the thing of like, this might not work out, but it's just about being like savvy. And one thing I'm learning about life is that it's just crazy. Like
anything can happen at any moment. Anything can happen
at any time. And I just feel like, I don't know, maybe it's like having a single mom. I feel like there's like a little bit of a conversation to have around that.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe where I saw my mom doing everything independently, that's just rubbed off on me. And I just have always presumed that the best bet is for me to be able to financially look after myself. And now in a couple, I have the cushion of a partner.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. There's privilege there.
Yes.
I have the cushion of split bills. I have the cushion of, you know, if I lost my job or couldn't get work, I'm not going to be homeless because he could step in and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I've got a cushion, but I'm not just like, I don't feel like I'm super dependent
right
on it.
Right. I agree. So I want to then ask you, how would you say that power dynamics impact financial dependency? Because I feel like this could be a pretty big
impact
when it comes to that.
I mean, I can only speak on what I've seen and what I know. I'm a straight girl, so I can only really speak on like dynamics I've seen mm-hmm. in like straight relationships. But like, I feel like men see money differently to women a lot of the times. And I feel like men can equate money with power and control. And there's almost like this thing of like, I'm paying for this, so shut up.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It's like, and I don't really, it's not like I've heard men explicitly say that, but it's like the way you're acting
mm-hmm.
is showing me that. Like, Love and Hip Hop have created a whole thing off of this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you really watch those shows, even Real Housewives, all of those shows, it's about these women that are living comfortably with these really wealthy men. And when you actually like deep a lot of those relationships, some of those women have been with those guys like for 20, 30 years. He's been in prison for 10 years. Now he's come out, she's holding it down, blah, blah. And he's cheating. He's got kids everywhere. And it's basically like what I take away from these storylines over and over again is he can because
he has the money.
He has the money.
Right.
It's almost like an unsaid agreement.
Yeah.
You look after me financially and, you know,
I'll kind of turn a blind eye to anything else that you do and I'll still be there. Yeah,
but then it's like, obviously, I don't know if it's just for the cameras, but then they like feign shock. Like,
yeah.
When he's like cheating, they're like, so it's like, but sis, this is like the fifth time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not shocked at this stage, but it's like, yeah, like that's a really great example of like where I get this idea that power dynamics and money in relationships can be a bit gray and a bit murky. So I feel like for me, again, like 50-50 is just my comfortable place. Mm-hmm. It's my black and white place. It's my, yeah, it's not murky for me.
Mm-hmm.
50-50.
You know where you're at when it's 50-50.
I know where I'm at.
I agree with you. I think we see all the time that money is a sign of wealth. It's a sign of power. And a lot of people use it to do what they want. I've been around people who have wealth who say, I can just make people do that because I've got money. And that's just how people view money. So if you think that your partner who is very well off may not do that, I'm not saying that they will, but that could be an element when it comes to, you know, the power dynamic. If you've got loads of money, you might say, well, no, you're going to do this because I cover your lifestyle. If I give you $5,000 a month, I don't know, some people are getting that, then I can tell you what you need to do, or this is what I expect done in the house, or whatever that looks like. And I think that does have an impact.
And I think as well, like, people climatize the financial situations really quickly. So like, you may have, you know, lived your whole life in a really small flat with your family and gotten used to that. As soon as you step out of that, and you're now living in a bigger space with a really nice car, it's like you get used to that so quickly. And you do not want to let that go. And if you're not the person who's funding that, I do feel like the person who is has so much more control over you, because it's like that person can flip your lifestyle like that.
Yeah.
If they walk away, you're back to that flat. You're back mm-hmm. living on bunk bed. You're back sleeping on a bunk bed. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I just feel like, I don't know, it just scares me.
It's scary for me as well.
It scares me personally.
Yeah. I'm like you. I've always had the idea that I need to make sure I have my own money. Like I can look after myself. You know, the way I look after myself, my lifestyle, I don't need anyone to come and pay for that. I pay for it myself. That's why I have my lifestyle. If I couldn't, I would go down. Exactly. Or I will increase it as and when I want to, because it's me who's paying for it.
And I also just feel like, for me, when I'm speaking to like women like your age and even younger, there's just certain things I will always encourage girls to do, like get your driver's license. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? There's no better feeling than getting in an argument with your boyfriend and just...
just jumping in the car and driving off.
Yeah, you know, that little pull out. Like, it's just like, yeah, do you know what I mean? It's just like, get your driver's license. Doesn't mean you have to have a whip, but it just means that... as a woman, you can just make moves. Like, if you need to bust out, you can...
you can go. You can go and get a little zip car. You can jump in.
Yeah, you can...
a rental.
You can do what you need to do. You're not stranded. Yeah, that's the thing. It's just like, the idea of just being stranded on anyone's island, whether that's in someone's yard, in a situation that they're controlling financially, like, I don't know. I just feel like, as a woman, it's just important to just, like, have your wits about you, because in terms of equality, the world is not... gender equality, the world is not where, you know, a lot of women would like it to be. That's mm-hmm. just the reality. We've got a way to go with certain things. And, you know, at my age, you know, myself and my friends, we are dating men in their mid to late 30s now. And those men were brought up a certain way. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they have certain mentalities surrounding money and finances and power and control. Not to like bash them or anything. It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So I think it's just like a little bit, maybe just a bit unrealistic to expect, as a woman, to expect men to be unicorns. They're not, they're human. We're human, they're flawed. They're dealing with their stuff, you're dealing with your stuff. So it's like, I hear girls talk and they're like, firstly, they're like, I'm the prize.
Mm-hmm.
So like, he needs to pay, tick. He needs to be emotionally available, tick. Also, he needs to be present in our relationship, so he needs to be here, like, I need to see him, tick. And it's just like, well, no, sis, because like, for example, the man who's really ambitious and career orientated doesn't spend a lot of time at home.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's hard. Something to has get, to give
something
yeah.
has to give, like, do you know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah, it's hard. It's hard.
Do you know what I mean? It's hard. Unless he's literally just like part of the royal family or something. Like,
it's true.
If he's a hardworking, ambitious man, like, I don't know. I think it's just like a bit unrealistic to just tick all those boxes.
It's true. Because the same can be said for women. Like, I'm someone who works quite a lot. And I know even just when I look at like my friends, I don't get to see them a lot. Or like sometimes my family won't see me for ages because I'm in and out. I'm out before they're up.
Exactly.
And I'm back home when they're asleep. So you might not even see me. So I think it's, about understanding, being realistic.
Yeah.
The expectations that you set for a partner you're looking for.
And this is exactly it. Like, I'm trying to think if me and my partner ever had like a conversation about like, we've had many money conversations actually. But I feel like a lot of it's been unsaid mm-hmm. as well. Because like, maybe to both of us, it's just common sense.
Yeah. You just know.
Yeah, it's just common sense. But and you know what? Like, he's the type of man, if he was paying more, I actually don't think he'd be like, well, I own you now.
I don't think.
I think
by the sound of your relationship.
I don't think that would be the vibe, but it's just never seemed necessary
for
me.
Yeah.
Personally. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of girls that are like, if he's earning more, he should pay more. A lot of people feel that way. But I don't, with property it gets techie and you know this,
mm-hmm.
but on paper we own 50-50 and...
Yeah.
So like, why should he pay more if he only owns 50%?
Yeah, just pay what you...
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, if he owns the property 70%,
then
that's different.
Yeah.
So it's like all these things, especially when we come to property and living together, you've got to think about, maybe rent is a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But that's still really good insight. Now I want to bring up the topic of marrying for money. So depending on what your background is, maybe where your parents from, some people may have had their parents tell, not my parents in particular, but I know some of my friends have said, you know, if you're going to find a man, make sure he's got money. Mm-hmm. I spoke to my friend the other day, actually, and she was saying that her mum was saying, you know, you've got to find a man with money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, it was like love is secondary, money is first. Yeah. So if he's got money, don't let him go. So what cultural and societal factors would you say influences the idea of marrying for money?
So I just feel like, firstly, we're living in a capitalist society. We know that money matters, and we know just money really impacts how it impacts choices, right? So it's like, I'm just too big and too grown to pretend that money isn't a factor in a relationship. It really is. I think that any dating choice you make is political to a point. Mm-hmm. So for example, there is a reason why, you know, you may not stroll up to like a random person on the street and say, let's date. Do you know what I mean? Like, you get to know someone, not just to get to know them, but it is a thing of like, are our lives going
to
mesh?
Yeah. Almost screening them to see if they're compatible.
And I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Because it can get long when there's like massive disparities.
Yeah.
It can just get really long. So I feel like there's a common sense aspect to that. I feel like the societal cultural aspect is it's only said to women.
Mm. That is very true.
People aren't saying to men,
make
sure you marry a rich woman. Like, people aren't saying that to men. They're only saying that to women. And I feel like, oh, it's complex. How much time have we got? I feel like there's a practical element to that as well. Women's, you know, when women are having kids, you know, it does take a hit on your personal earnings. You know, I know really successful women who are really career orientated, but that year of mat leave
really impacted.
It really helps when your partner's got money. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is he's going to have to step in and pay. There's this cultural idea of like a woman needing to be looked after. I get that. Traditionally, men are like the providers, hunter gatherers, protects the family, all of that. But I just wonder, like, is the reality of the modern world and then that like hunter gatherer thing?
Mm.
Like, is it aligning? Because the reality is, the last time I checked, like, a lot of men that I know don't know how to use a drill.
So I'm just like, I was saying this to my dad the other day.
I don't know. It's like,
I was saying this to my dad the other day. I think, no, he always tells me, he's like, Kia, you're so unlucky. The men nowadays can't do anything. They can't put up shelves. They can't do anything. What are you going to do? And I said, boy, I don't know. Because my dad can do everything. He's from that generation. He can do it.
Men from that generation can do it all. They know a little bit about cars. Mm. They know a little bit. So it's like, I don't know. I almost feel like you're gassing a girl to be like, make sure you marry, like, money, blah, blah, blah. The man is going to look after you. But then it's like, as a woman, you then have to assess, like, okay, he might have money, but like...
But can he actually do the practical thing?
Yeah, like...
But I've spoken to women who will say, well, it's fine, he can pay for someone to come and do it.
Yeah, a lot of women feel like... Yeah. To me, that gives me the ick. But like, anyone who's following me has seen my man build like a whole building at the bottom of our garden from scratch. So like, I've climatized to like a man who can use his hands.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, there's nothing wrong with hiring people in, but... Yeah, I guess that's just maybe like my own like toxic thing. I don't know. Like, maybe that's like my toxic trait. Like, you know, there's a certain kind of like stereotypical masculinity maybe that I like. But I just feel like, I feel really torn on marrying for money because I think it's practical. But then I think it negates so many other important things when you're looking for a life partner. And sometimes I just worry if you just like emphasize a certain thing to a guy, so like it's now set up that you like him, but he kind of also knows you like the money.
Mm.
And like he's also like playing along with it, so he's mm-hmm. doing the gifts, he's flying you out, blah blah blah. Sometimes I wonder, like, in terms of our growth as a couple, like if you're just like buying me and treating me and spoiling me and it's all about finances, like, are you growing
with me in that way,
in other ways? Mm-hmm. Like, because I just feel like when I think about when I was like your age, what I was looking for in a boyfriend versus what I need now is so different. Like like what I actually need now is like communication, emotional availability, stability. Like that's what I need. That's what I, otherwise if I'm not getting that, then there's no point.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when I was like 25, I felt like what I needed was I want to see you and I want to do fun things. I want to know we've got a holiday booked because I want to have something to look forward to. Like these were the things that were important to me at the time.
It's interesting to see that that's changed for you. Yeah,
it's changed. It's changed massively for me now. Like now for me, it's like what you like when I'm sick. Like it's stuff like that.
The things that you don't consider when you're in your 20s, you're not thinking about that.
You're just not thinking about that stuff. It's like what are you like when I'm sick, and then that's a little window into. Oh, if I get pregnant and I, you know, pregnancy can be rough, how are you going to be? It's stuff like that. So it's like, I don't know, when I hear the older women talking to the young women, I just think, auntie, like, you should know a bit better. You've got more life experience. So it's like, help them fill in the gaps.
Fill in the gaps.
Because if you're just saying, marry a guy with money and it kind of negates everything else, you know, teach the younger girls about the other fit traits and attributes they need to look be for, like, looking for. Present.
Yeah,
because I just feel like the money, and also money comes, money goes.
Money comes, money. One minute he can be up,
exactly.
The next year something happens, a big scandal happens, and he loses all his money. Exactly. You have no idea what's around the corner.
And then it's like you could end up with a guy who's you had money, doesn't have money now, and now he's got no character.
Yeah,
you're with someone who hasn't got good character, and then it's just like, where are you?
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely say, like for me, if I was giving advice to like a younger girl or younger woman, I think I would definitely say it matters, but it's maybe number two, not number one.
Okay.
Good character has to be.
That holds more weight. So I wanted to talk about some of the warning signs and some of the almost red flags that could be present. So what are the things that you reckon are very evident or to look out for if someone feels like they could be in a financially dependent relationship?
I think some of the red flags to look out for if you're in a financially dependent relationship goes back to what I said earlier. If you're living in a lifestyle that you really could not afford without this person, I think it's time to appraise and take time.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe that when a car's up for renewal, don't renew.
Maybe
we
just say, let's just go and get something smaller.
Let's get a VW.
Do you know what I mean?
Like,
let's go. Like, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, yeah, it's still good. Like I feel like that's where some people, especially women, can start to look around and think, do you know what? That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would say if you love that life you're in now, if you love everything you've got now, then it would be smart to just make sure that with or without this person, you can maintain it.
Because you never, like, we keep saying, come back to that point, you actually never know what could happen.
Yeah, you just don't. Like, again, I feel like, not to sound like an old lady, but I'm just now at that age where, like, myself and my friends, some of us have been with these guys for over a decade now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people have met their guy in uni. And, you know, I've now seen my friends be in these relationships for time.
Mm.
And it's just so many things happen, like bereavements, illness, breakups, like so much happens now in life. Like my friends and I were just saying, like last year was just the ghetto, like for so many people. And we were like, is it our age? Because and it's just like, yeah, we're proper adults now. That life will just slap you. Like, do you know what I mean? So And then, like, you know, the pandemic, like, just random stuff.
Oh, my gosh, so I rattled everyone, the pandemic.
Yeah, random stuff will happen. Now we're in cost of living.
Yeah.
I feel like that's really impacting, like, my age group because we're, like, the people with, like, mortgages and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, you know, we're the people, like, some of my friends have kids in private school or whatever.
I've spoken to my brother. He's 5 years younger, so he's 20, just turned 20. And when he was, like, 18, 19, he was telling me that it's, like, the norm that like his friends and stuff, so that age group have to take out girls like Novikov. I said, I said bro, you're 18, bro.
Yeah.
What money do you man have? Yeah, you have no money.
They're taking their girls out in Mayfair.
I said, like, I did not do any of that. And until we done left Nando's. Uni. I said, bro, is it cheeky little Nando's? Maybe a little buffet? You're being a little bit cheeky, you got that kind of money, but we don't, none of that.
We like our generation, like when we were like dating, when we were like in sixth form or whatever, college, it was a Nando's and cinema. Nando's and cinema together.
That is your baller. You are a baller. Yeah, if your man take you to Nando's and cinema, Westfield, that's a rich man.
Yeah,
that's a rich man you got right there.
Exactly. So it's like, now that the, I'm like, where are they getting the money to be made?
I said, Novikov. I said, oh.
And they're picking it up and driving through congestion.
Oh.
I'm like, this is like,
I don't want to do that. I get so angry if I have to do that.
Yeah.
And they're doing that willingly.
Yeah. So I just don't know where. is it social media? I do
feel, I think it is social media, you know. Yeah. I think it is, like, I don't know if you've also seen the videos. I think I saw one girl, you know, that whole like hotel room setup for someone's birthday, they've got the balloons and stuff, right? It was this girl, for her boyfriend's 18th birthday, she had the balloons, she had rose petals, she had a hotel room in a nice hotel, and she had designer items from all over the bed. You know, like they do, like, all the bags. I said, so if he's just turned 18, you're either 17 or 18.
Yeah.
Where has his money come from?
Exactly.
I just don't understand.
They still get EMA.
No, that was done before me. So you are digging in the crates. That was done before me. Okay? You need to let that one go.
Yeah, need to let that go. I don't know where they get.
Look, maybe she didn't finance even though. I don't. But even, I worked in Apple. That's probably one of the creme de la creme. And even then, I would not even dream of doing that.
This is it.
I don't have money for that.
This is it. I don't know. Because when I'm thinking back to when I was 18, like thinking about like one of my best days with like a guy that I was seeing was like Hyde Park.
Mm-hmm.
Good weather, get a little, like, spend the whole day together. Maybe you'll go Oxford Street.
That's a little, to me, I would
go home happy.
Yeah.
I was satisfied because I was like, we went up to Central, it's a bit exciting, left South, went up to Central, you know, nice weather, walked around. To me, I was satisfied. I remember those were some of my best memories, like, of, you know, first dates with guys or whatever. And, like, no pretense.
How can couples approach goal setting and, you know, planning out their finances in a way that actually promotes financial independence and promotes transparency within that relationship?
That's a really good question, because I feel like my partner and I, we haven't always been aligned at when we want to do things So I think I wanted to get on the property ladder a little bit sooner than he really cared for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the place we were renting was, like, really affordable and we really liked where we were renting. It was, like, a really cushy renting situation. So he didn't really feel that urgency to get on the property ladder, whereas I really felt the urgency. I was seeing how house prices were going up in London, and I was really scared of getting priced out of London. I was just seeing, like, the line, just like what we could afford. You know, I wanted to end up, I'm from Crystal Palace, and that area has probably been quite gentrified for many years now. And then I was seeing the area over. Oh, we've been priced out, the area over. So I felt that urgency of, if we want to stay in London, we got to move very quickly. So we had a very like candid discussion about it. And we literally discussed what are the like milestones we want to achieve as a couple, and are there any things we want to achieve as individuals as well? So it's just little things, like, for a big part of our relationship, I had a personal trainer. That was bank. That was bank, right? And that was fine, because that was my personal money that I was investing in myself, and it wasn't impacting what we had planned together. So we've always been a bit like that. Like, these are the financial commitments as a couple. Whatever you want to do with the rest of your money, please do it.
Mm-hmm.
But this cannot
affect what you guys have got going on together in the joint finances.
And then when I could see that the personal trainer was going to impact what we had planned, I had to lock off the personal trainer, because it's like, I've made a promise and a commitment. Like, this is my life partner, innit? So if I've said to him, we're going to save X amount to buy a house or X amount to do whatever, I don't want to let him down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's like, obviously talk and establish, what do you want to do together and how much can you both afford? And then what do you want to achieve for yourself? What do you want to invest in yourself? You know, like, he dabbles in crypto and stuff like that. And I don't really know much about it, but, you know, that's the thing that he's doing. And I think that's something he does with his friends. You know, they enjoy talking about it and stuff like that. And he's always someone who's like doing like personal development. So like, he'll just start projects, like craft projects, and, you know, he'll invest money in like making that happen. And I've got my own thing. So I think it's just like, it can get murky when people are like not committing to what you said you were going to commit to, but then like the other person can see, but you're going Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm. Where's that money coming from? But you
friends,
can't.
But like, we said we were going to do this.
Yeah.
I think you just have to be really clear. And I think it's quite nice to have an accountability partner.
I think so.
As well, like, and to do, I think as well, like, embrace doing something together. Like, when we were renovating, it sounds really silly, but I felt we were, like, in the trenches of something together. And it was expensive and it was hard and it was tiring because we'd done a lot of it ourselves. But it was beautiful for us because we learned like communication, how to work together, how to, you know, like working towards the same goal, something that's like tangible, is really nice, I think, for relationships.
And then just to round off, yeah, what would be one piece of advice that you'd like to leave with everyone listening and watching with regards to becoming or continuing your financially independent journey?
This is just literally from life experience. I think it's about affordability, you know. I think there's a way to have everything you want at a level that suits your finances. And just don't let anyone drag you into a situation either way. Don't let anyone drag you down financially.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you're doing well and the person you're with isn't doing as well, you should still go on that holiday. It's yeah, unfortunate they can't come, but like...
you should still go and see the world.
Yeah, so don't let someone drag you down. Equally, don't get too dragged into someone else's financial situation or world.
Finding that nice, happy medium.
There's a happy medium that can is what be you need. Had it. And don't get me wrong, in that happy medium are gifts and getting spoiled,
mm-hmm,
and getting surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe getting a really nice ring one day. Like there's, mm-hmm, all of that can still exist within the realm of balance. I think it's really good if you're close to family as well. I would definitely say like ask questions from the elders.
Mm-hmm.
My mum's been really good. She's always been a really good person to speak to about finances. My mum's very financially savvy. She made miracles happen with like a very humble salary. She worked in education, yeah, and we know that's, mm-hmm, capped, you, yeah, know. She made miracles happen with a small salary for like most of my teenage and adult life, just because she was savvy and smart with money. So, you know, if you can look at like parents, aunties, uncles, or friends' parents, you know, definitely like confide in them and get advice. Because they've been through it and you'd be surprised how much like knowledge. Yeah.
They have so much banked up in there that you can just, yeah, draw from and learn from.
Exactly. So definitely speak to the elders. I think it's also for a young person in a relationship. It's just good for someone older that you trust to be aware of your relationship dynamic,
mm-hmm,
as well.
Yeah.
Because then they can give you advice that's actually relevant.
Nadine, this has been incredible.
Ah, thank you.
This has been such, no, honestly, thanks such a great chat, and one that we don't always get to have, but I think a very necessary one. So for anyone listening and watching, where can they find you and what you're up to on your incredible page?
Ah, so you can find me at Rona, R-O-N-A underscore renovation. I'm on Instagram mainly. And you'll just see me like renovating, living life. I've been talking a lot more about finances as well. There's so much like mystery around how people are affording to renovate, how people are getting on the property ladder. So yeah, you can find a little bit of like financial chat, some credit card chat as well. So yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Honestly, you're incredible. I'll be back again next week with another episode. Bye, guys.